All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.
Rockland, USA.
All you rock stars from Rockland USA Studios in Washington, this is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, keep you updated on your path to multi-millions without any fees or commissions. It's kind of what we do here. I'm Craig with Amanda, and we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us. Phone lines are completely open right now, 989-888-ROCK. That's 989-888-7625. You can leave a voicemail or text us 24 hours a day with your questions or comments, and we'll play those on the show. And if you're too shy, you can always email us to podcast@rocklandusa.com. And don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, for everything about the show and how to save money, invest in, and so forth. How are you doing, Amanda?
I'm doing great. How about yourself? How
did you like the first few episodes?
Well, I loved them, but I'm biased.
the traffic is definitely increasing. We're getting ratings on iTunes, and I guess it's really called Apple Podcasts, and it's doing very well. We're now available on every podcast platform that's out there and directory. So that's pretty exciting. Cool. Hey, coming up in just a few minutes, two listener questions.
Okay.
Brenda wants some advice on purchasing a really good 75-inch TV this holiday season. I think that's referencing back to our Black Friday episode, which you talked about. And Suzanne wants our thoughts on her current 401k situation so she can retire at age 60. Wow. Who wouldn't want to retire at age 60?
Yeah, I do.
Hey, and one clarification, circling back to episode one, we were kind of like trying to get our groove and get a rhythm going, Amanda. You remember that day?
I do.
You were
pumped. I remember
it
like it was last week.
Oh, it was. But the question of the day was from Lacey, and I want to clarify, we actually answered the question incorrectly because we didn't interpret the question the right way. She was actually wanting to know about buying company stock that she works for. I believe she says she works at Southwest. She now has the opportunity to buy company stock at 10% discount, and we did not answer it in that form. We were talking about buying stock within your 401k plan.
Yep.
You know, you can do up to, 50% of your money you can put it in the stock market. So,
right. So what's her question?
She wants to know the advantages of buying company stock and if she should do that or not, specifically with her employer.
What would be the downside of that? You're getting it at a discount? I mean, unless you don't believe in your employer, I guess.
I got clarifications from her. She does get a 10% discount right off the bat when she purchases the stock from her company, which is...
Is there a company match?
That is the discount.
I gotcha.
So 10% discount on the current price that she buys it is a 10% gain right off the bat on a stock. Yeah. That's amazing. I know we'd love to have 100% gains and everything, but if you get 10% gain immediately upon buying a stock, that's great. Now,
I mean, there's obviously always some risk that you could lose it, but I would definitely take it.
Oh, absolutely. Now, here would be the flip side, and this gets into stock picking. Typically, airline stocks are not the stocks you hold long term, and it's really up to you if you want to do that or not. A lot of people buy them, and it's a cyclical stock. It goes up, it goes down, but Southwest is the one company that has always pulled in a profit every quarter. I can't remember how many quarters in a row, like 50 or 60 or something like that. And they're currently pulling a profit every quarter. So you know what? This is an individual situation and preference, but just the fact that you can get a 10% discount makes it a good deal, in my opinion.
Yeah. If it were me, I would jump on it. I would do it. I mean, I wouldn't put all of my retirement money there, but I would definitely take advantage of that.
There you go. So there it is. Now, I think the current price is... it's now mid-November. It's about 55, 58 bucks a share. So I'm not sure how much money you have you want to put into this. It's going to take a long time to get a bunch of shares. You're going to like probably one or two a paycheck, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a while. It's a pricey stock. So it's going to take a while to build up your portfolio. But 10% gain immediately upon purchase. So we have a new question of the day.
Hi, my name is Leah, and I have two 401ks, a smaller one from a previous company and the one that I have at my current company. I've received different types of advice regarding those two, that being go ahead and keep them separate and also to combine them. My company that I'm at now actually uses the same company that my previous did for the 401k management. So it should be an easy migration, but I just want to know that that's a good choice. So question, should I go ahead and combine those two 401ks or leave them separate? Thank you.
Leah has two 401ks, one with a previous employer, and they're both managed by the same provider. And she wants to know if she should combine them and what should she do with them. Do you have any ideas?
Sure, I do. I have lots of ideas.
It's someone so else's money. You love spending someone else's money.
Yeah, it's very easy when it's not my money.
Yeah.
But seriously, in all seriousness, if it were my money, there's a couple of different things you can do. And it's really, again, a personal preference, but you could leave your account where it is. And that's usually the only option if your balance is above a certain level, typically $5,000. But you'll want to ask your account manager what the thresholds are there. Or you could roll the account balance directly into your new employer's plan. Like if your new employer offers one and they accept rollovers, then that's a simplified option because then all of your money would be in one account. Or you can make an indirect rollover to your retirement plan through your new employer or an IRA. Or you could take a cash distribution.
Ooh, that's a lot of cash.
It is a lot of cash.
And penalties, if you take that, right?
And there's tax penalties involved, yeah. So that might be the last option.
Yeah.
But if you need the money because you have some emergency or something else that come up, then you could take that cash distribution. But that would be my last resort option. Perfect. I would definitely, if it were me, I would definitely work on the rolling over into one account.
All right, great. Now she's entered into a chance to win a $100 gift card from somewhere.
We haven't decided yet, Craig.
We're still stuck behind between, you know what? We should give that an option. Do you want Amazon or Walmart?
Okay.
I'm a little biased to Walmart because I have the stock. So
there you go, folks. You
have an disclosure. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick little break. You're listening to Rock on the Money with Craig and Amanda. And don't forget to visit rockonthemoney.com for everything about the show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Question, social media question coming in from Facebook. Suzanne works, another airline. What's up with all these airline employees? She writes, I'm nearly 53, been flying for 28 years. Can you imagine flying for 28 years? People complain about doing one flight.
Yeah.
She would like to retire at age 60. That would be 7 years, Amanda.
And just over, yep.
Just over. And begin taking Social Security at age 65. And she did provide us some information on what she currently has. I'm going to go through these really quick. She has 5% in a stable value fund, 10% in American Funds Euro Pacific, 17% in Dodge and Cox, 23% in the Harbor Capital Appreciation Fund, 15% in a small cap fund, and 28% in the Vanguard 500 Institutional Index Fund, one of our favorites. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that adds up to 100%. I just rounded those off.
That. I think it does. But what I find it's fascinating is the allocation of amounts here. I love the fact that it's not round 5 and 10%.
Yeah, actually, she gave me a screenshot and I just ran it off of, I think it hasn't been rebalanced, you know what I mean, to round numbers, and it's all over the place.
Maybe those are her lucky numbers.
Yeah, it could be. You know what? Those sound like lotto numbers right there.
They do.
5, 10, 17, 23, 15, and 28, folks.
Yep.
Put those in your lotto this weekend. Her current balance, are you ready for this, everybody? Give me a drum roll. Here we go. $1.25 million. $1 million. Mm-hmm. Wow. And she wants to retire in 7 more years.
Okay.
Thoughts, Amanda?
Well, I think that it depends on how much money she wants to spend each year. So I think you mentioned in one of our last episodes, Craig, that people are living longer than ever.
And, yeah,
you know, upwards of 100. So she retires at 60. That's 40 years of retirement to fund. You know, $1.2 million sounds like a lot if you think about it. Like you have a pot of gold. But...
Why does Lucky Charms pop in my head? Go ahead.
I know. But if you are doling out little gold coins every year, you know, it's how many coins does it take each year? So I don't know if I would be comfortable with $1.25 million. I would definitely want to see that double or even triple before I retired.
You know what? Let me bring this up because I don't think we've talked about this. The thing called the rule of 72.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody out there, if you just look at what your long-term gains are in your 401k, whatever mix you have, let's just say you have 8% annual gains long-term. The rule of 72 says if you take that number and divide it in 72, historically speaking, that's how many years it would take to double the money if you did no more deposits, did nothing else but just sit on it. So let's just say 8% gain, which is kind of conservative, right in the middle, wouldn't you agree? Mm-hmm. So it would take 9 years to double that 1.25. So then you would end up with 2.5 million in about 9 years, give or take it to, you know, 1 or 2
years.
There
you go.
I agree.
So I also just did some quick math here. Ooh, Craig.
Go ahead. So you're the brainiac in this operation, not me.
Well, I use the calculator.
Oh, don't tell anyone.
So we just talked about, let's say she lived to 100, that's 40 years. $1.25 million would be, you know, a little over $31,000 a year to live off of. Now, of course, that's a rough number because we would also have to assume her fund continues to grow during that time. But I mean, I just did a straight division. I don't know if $31,000 a year is what she would plan or want to live off of year one. So that's something to consider. But if you just, let's say maybe she doesn't have such an optimistic outlook on her lifespan. 25 years, that gives you about $50,000 a year. And maybe that's a little bit more reasonable. But again, it's not really taking into account cost of inflation. So I think the cost of inflation and your growth, there's going to be some offsetting there. It depends. What is your dream lifestyle once you retire? If you're planning to live out a modest lifestyle and you'd rather just not be working, that might very well get you to where you want to be. If you want to move to Costa Rica, you could probably live very comfortably on that much. But
so, yeah, I mean, those are great points. And we're not advisors. We're just sitting here talking, giving you some ideas. She was talking about getting Social Security at 65.
Yeah.
The max amount for draw, which hardly anybody ever apparently takes, is age 70. But if you go to the Social Security Administration website, they have actually great tools in there. You log in, look at your account, and it will tell you the various years between 62 and 70, how much you will get per year, right?
Yeah.
Monthly?
I mean,
so go ahead.
Yeah, she can probably use those tools. I don't know that someone... who's a few more years away from retirement should rely on Social Security. But that's just me.
No.
I wouldn't count on it is all I'm saying.
When I looked at it, 67 and 70 was not that much different in the monthly payout. They say every year that you wait after 62, you get 8% more on the payout. So it's like 6 to 7%. So the longer you can wait on that, the more you will get. So once again, like you said, how long do you think you're going to live? If you think you're going to be around a while, you probably want the max payout.
I don't know, Craig. I don't want to be working when I'm 67. I think 65 is perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, it is.
And, if you're making 8% in your retirement fund, which it sounds like she's certainly set up for that kind of success, then 8% more you get in Social Security is not really worth it to me.
So maybe when she was saying she would like to retire at 60, if she could delay it a couple more years till she gets $2.5 million, maybe, only withdraw what you need. And of course, you know what? The other thing she didn't mention, is this a Roth or a traditional? My guess, that much is traditional.
Yeah.
Because
mine's
traditional. I have a large balance, but I didn't have Roth available for me for decades. So I'm kind of stuck in the traditional camp.
Like, how old are you, Craig? Jeez.
You make it sound like I'm like ancient. Oh my God, let's move on. Anyway, thank you, Suzanne, for the question. Hopefully that gave you some things. But congratulations on the 1.25 million. I know there's a lot of listeners there. Oh my, she sent that information. I'm like, what am I supposed to tell you? You've done well. Congratulations. That's just... Yeah. Moving on.
Moving on.
Social media question. Hey, let's talk about electronics. This is part of our save pillar.
Sounds like it's our spend.
Well, it is the holidays. You know, we budget for these things and we're ready to buy a TV. So Brenda from Minnesota says, I'm looking to buy a 75-inch TV during the holiday Black Friday sales, but want something good and I'm on a budget. What do you recommend? Where should I buy it? Okay, so Amanda, here's something that you may or may not know. I used to work for G. Gordon Liddy on CBS Radio, and I was his, he called me his webmeister. He was German or something
like that. For those of us who don't know, who is this individual you just said?
Do you know? Okay, this is our generation gap that we're talking about. Do you know who G. Gordon Liddy is?
Well, let's hypothetically say I don't.
Okay. Hypothetically, do you remember the Nixon?
Nixon, I have heard of the Nixon.
Watergate. Yes, it involves Watergate. Yeah, he got caught. He was helping.
I learned about that in history class. There was no mention of this other person.
He went to jail over all that whole thing. So anyway, G. Gordon Liddy, he had a talk radio show on CBS Radio here in the Washington, D.C. area. 70s? No, he wasn't 70s. 2000s. 2000s.
Oh, okay.
It was about the same time Howard Stern left CBS to go work at Sirius XM, which at the time was just Sirius. Anyway, we're getting deep into radio talk here. He would have me regularly on the show. It's a nationally syndicated radio show. And we would talk about buying online because stores were starting to pop up and Black Friday had to buy electronics and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this reminds me of those days. It's a little sentimental for me. Brenda in Minnesota, I don't know what your budget is, so we're going with a 75-inch TV. I'm just going to tell you what the quality ones, which are a great bargain right now. So I have Consumer Reports, so I went on and looked at that. I went to look other geeky websites, and this is what I came up with. Actually, it made me want to go buy one, Amanda, because I don't have a 75-inch TV. I have a 65.
I do. I have a 75-inch TV.
How the heck do you have a better TV than I do?
Well, I actually spend more time at home than you do, so I probably get way more use out of it than you ever would. You're flying all over the planet here.
That's right. You said you watch Price is Right every day, so.
Okay, let me clarify that in case my boss is listening. I do not watch it every day. I have it on every day. It's background noise.
That's fine. I have CNBC on all day while I'm working. It's just... The Vizio 75-inch P759 Quantum Series. How is that for a title?
I don't understand what you said. Was that English?
Quantum dots. No, Vizio TVs are a great brand to buy.
Yeah, I have two Vizios in my house. Only one of them's plugged in, but.
Oh, okay. Well, they're highly recommended. Still a great deal. But the Quantum part is what the QLED. I know we've been to Best Buy and Costco. We see the TVs with QLED. LG will say OLED, but Samsung and the other brands will say QLED. So it has quantum dots. I don't want to get too geeky with this, but what comes down to is, I know, I'm trying to keep it simple. But when you get down to what's called the nits, N-I-T-S, this Vizio has 2,700 nits. And so a nit.
Let me just stop you there so we can simplify this for some folks who aren't quite as technologically geeky as you, Craig.
This is why I keep you around.
I'll tell you. So we bought a 75-inch TV a few years ago. It was my compromise in my marriage as a result of him wanting a projector, which I did not want.
Wait a minute. What?
Anyway, side note. I buy almost everything online. So I think that... As a consumer, take the information that Craig's given you, some of the brand names, go on to Amazon or Walmart or any of the other technology vendors, look at some of the brand names and your 75-inch and start reading reviews. I read hundreds of reviews before we selected our TV, and you just watch for sale dates. And I tell you what, if you look at, I don't even shy away from those that say, you know, certified refurbished, you can get some really great deals. Absolutely. If you're on a budget there. I think you can get a really high quality 75-inch TV nowadays for, you know, $1,000 to $1,200.
Yep. The Vizio P series is around $1,500, and that's not Black Friday prices. That's today's prices. Mm-hmm. And then the other one I would have everybody look at is TCL, the 6 series. That's the one that's got Roku built into it, and you can get that currently, as of today, $1,200. Those have the 4K ports and HDR and all that. And the nits is all about the brightness. So the higher the nits, the more bright it's going to be. So if you have a bright home, you want a TV that has a very bright screen. So those,
yeah, I don't like brightness because I like to sit and watch movies in the dark. So I prefer it not to be so blinding.
It's a little weird.
What? Movie theaters are dark.
That's true.
<That's> How is that weird?
No, it's not weird. All right. Let's wrap up this one. That was a pretty good episode. Pretty good episode. I love the 401k questions. We have so much gratitude for you taking the time to listen to this podcast and joining in our little community. We really do appreciate you. Please, please, please take the time to share it with your friends. Also, don't forget to check out our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/your401k. And don't forget our website, rockonthemoney.com. Everything about the show, all the segments, all the questions, everything, we're slowly compiling that so you can find what you need rather quickly. Thank you again. So long, everybody. America's Rock Band USA.